dust.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. Seriously.
There's the photo. Now, you know how well we... I don't think I even had my microphone on then.
Your stuff was brilliant. And it just hasn't been recorded.
Now, Don, please don't think I've got tickets on myself, but this is me singing, and they wouldn't believe it was me, so... This was me singing on
Johnny's
the boat in front of the cast.
Hours of self-promotion.
No, just a minute.
You're like Jeff Kennett. You just need exposure.
Oh, geez. Hang on, it's playing. Why isn't it? Why isn't the microphone on? Shit.
Come on.
Why isn't it on?
No, don't worry. Let's interview our guest. Johnny.
All right.
Can we just interview the guest?
Yeah, we can.
Give the introduction.
No, we're not interviewing the guest. Oh, we're not doing the guest yet, Don. I'm going to try and work out why that's not playing.
Oh, well, just...
Where's the microphone?
The Asperger's kicking in again.
It is. I'm telling you.
Come on. It's going dead.
Okay, righto. So the doc's not rung in from Sydney. The doc's not rung in from Sydney. Phoebe's not here. Ivan's gone back to the mines. Sue Stanley said she might come in, but she's working.
I think she's woken up to herself.
No, she hasn't woken up to us. Thank God she wasn't here for the original first part we did. And all right, so Ricky Nixon has just walked in, and he wanted to, I think, I'm not sure why he's walked in, but he wanted to announce something. So, hello, Ricky.
Hello, Sam and Don. Good to see you, young fellas.
Rick, what's your latest venture, Rick?
Well, that's a good introduction, actually, Don, because it involves Sue Stanley, believe it or not. And Sue and I are partnering up on the first TGA, Therapeutic Goods Association, which is the health department, brain functionality testing machine. In other words, to simplify that for everyone, if you've had or been concussed, you can now be tested for your brain functionality, which hopefully will prevent further cases
before
such as...
Before you go on.
Yes.
Before I lose this is brain functionality. Right. This is me singing.
Oh, shit. And we're just...
Perfect interruption. Oh,
no.
Jeez, I look forward to this.
Oh, can you believe...
That is your voice, too.
Not your voice. It's been doctored.
No, it's not. That's it me. Is. And
they
then the other one I sang.
Now
and they said that's not your
you
voice.
Make you in tune.
They said that's not your voice. And I said, yes, it is. I'll get you the other one, which was called...
Did they jump overboard when they started hearing
no,
that?
No, they were...
They would have jumped onto that...
No, they were...
Just blue mat on mass.
Fucking one. No, the other one was I've Got You Under My Skin, which I can't find. So go ahead, Ricky, and when I find I've Got You Under My Skin, I'll break in again. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, so the assessment machine we got is called the iBox from America. We've got exclusive rights to it in Australia. And basically what we'll be doing, Don, is going out to the community and not just only testing footballers but netballers, soccer players as young
as... Hang on, netballers don't get concussed.
No, they do when an elbow comes down on their head. Or they clash heads. But I'm just meaning the point that it could be any sport. But it also could be someone in a car accident this morning.
Do you mind I'm having a conversation? I'm trying to...
Shh. These are disruptive.
Oh, jeez. We're just on a...
You're on a roll.
We're just going down a track. And I'm,
good ending.
Would you shut up, please? Ricky, I saw on the... Would you shut up?
All right, we got the gist. Right,
okay. Now, Ricky, I saw something on television on the news.
Yep.
Is this the same machine? Is it...
It was tested on a young lady, and that was a promo. Now, is this the same machine?
Yeah, there's a lot of machines that are dealing with similar eyesight functionality because that's one way of testing your brain functionality. There's only really two ways, blood tests, which really only shows up with scans or brain your eye functionality following something. Because if you're following something around a screen, you've got to concentrate. But if I go like that, click, you don't realise your brain loses concentration. That's one way of indicating it. So this is the most advanced technology in the world at the moment.
Is this Sue Stanley got something to do with this, hasn't
Sue,
she?
Yep, Sue came to me with it, and she's got the exclusive rights in Australia, and I've now partnered with her. And, you know, for sporting organisations, this is about getting on with getting something done to help people. I'm not here to challenge sporting organisations.
Is this the latest thing? Now, we've all played football and whatever else. Are we making a lot over this concussion?
No, because the problem is this, Don, is it's the only medical condition in the world that takes 20 years sometimes to come out.
Okay, so what happens in 20 years? Now, we've played the sport. What's happened?
I'll tell you what happens.
Okay, it's kicked in with you,
Don.
Bullshit.
It's kicked in with you. 40 years on, you're completely mentally impaired.
Go on, tell me, Rick.
Well, one of my best mates is Greg Williams. I played with John Platten. I managed John Barnes. And the dementia that they have and the loss of memory.
But do you think, well, mate, I'm not cutting you off. But do you think this is the ageing process, that we age at different rates?
Well, I think...
Now, these boys might age a little bit quicker.
Yes. I don't dispute that
for one minute,
because I know myself in the last 12 months I have trouble recognising people, but I'm not going to... I just go, I'm getting older.
No, you know?
Well,
you're
I just
a
don't
nice
want to recognise
him, Ricky. I had great admiration.
But
for
Richard,
you.
We don't forget, and Dan.
Dan who?
Don. I mean, sorry. Dan.
I thought it was Fiona. Anyway.
Yeah, it could be Fiona. No, I take your point, Don. That have we made too much of this? But maybe there's a lot of people get dementia and Alzheimer's from not playing sport. But it's a very sensible thing to do. Like that boy that had the heart attack in the gridiron player, the whole nation is wondering, do you know this? The gridiron player called Hamlin.
Yeah, I understand all that.
Do you know the reason they are so worried about why he had a heart attack? Because of the COVID injections he's had. There is 2,500 athletes have died or had serious heart problems from, they say, the COVID injection.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with Ricky. You're off the subject.
I am.
Okay, Ricky.
But go on, Don.
No, so you don't... So what's it going to do? So you get tested and it comes up with something. Yep. So what happens then?
Well, what happens then is you get tested. If you get knocked out today at Marvel Stadium, right, you're playing for Collingwood. When you come off and you become conscious again, et cetera, we would test you. And then you get tested a few weeks later and maybe 2 months later if it's deteriorating.
Hang on, are you playing football in the interim? So when do you come back to actually playing?
This is still a debatable subject, but it needs to be at least a couple of weeks. But there's no proof in anything at the moment. And the research that's going on, the biggest lack is data. There's no data, and that's what we'll be collecting so that we can analyse this stuff. So you can analyse why is deterioration taking 20 years. Now, neurologists, who are brain people, they can work on rehabilitation, whereas someone like Danny Frawley, one of my best mates, you know, he got knocked out at the MCG. I was standing next to him that day when it happened.
I saw him. He aggravated Brereton. Yeah.
That's exactly what happened, Don.
So besides you knocking people out at every venue you go to...
Well, Richard Osborne might have a case against
just
him.
Just a minute, Don. Besides you've got good memory. Getting into all
your
the
memories are worried.
Well, I commentated on the game. I've watched your career.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask
I was in the middle of saying something, Don.
Oh, go on.
Besides you knocking out everyone, every venue you go to, all I keep reading in the paper is that you got into a brawl here and you got into a brawl there and you attacked someone on the footpath. Maybe you should test yourself before you go out marketing this thing.
I love the way that a certain newspaper writes a story that I attacked someone in a toilet at a fundraiser. They rang the president of that football club the day before, who said that is total and utter crap. Don't write it. What do they do?
Why do they write it then, Ricky?
Oh, look, I won't go into why. Let's just say that it's all around clickbait these days. They use the word allegedly, but this time I'm not copying it. I'm going to take them to court and I'm going to stand up for every Australian that you just
stand up for yourself.
No, I'm standing up for every Australian, and you just can't print total crap. You can't print total crap, Don, and lies and say it's allegedly.
Can I ask you a serious question? Because you have got a brain. You were a school teacher and you came from a decent family in Bendigo. Now listen. Where did your if you had your life again, I can't get my head around. If you had your life again, what would you do differently that hasn't caused you to be in the situation you're in today?
I'll be an astronaut.
Shut up.
What I've learnt over the last 5 years, and the three of us are very similar, we're basically adrenaline junkies.
You don't think you are?
I'm not. You're not an adrenaline junkie?
No.
So when he has a cracker, you don't fire back?
Well, that's not adrenaline. It's
yes, it is.
It's not.
Then
it
you're
is.
Playing See? Football, you're an adrenaline junkie.
Well, that's a bit different.
that's life.
The word ADHD gets used loosely, but I just can't sit still. I've learned that's my personality.
But you were a school teacher at Carey.
Yeah.
You watched Stuart crack Carlton, St Kilda and Hawthorn. But where did your bloody life start to get off the bloody rails? Because you were bloody sensible once... Well, and there you get into all sorts of trouble and shit. What's going on?
Well, the all sorts of trouble has to do with 24-hour internet and media who just want, like, bringing down high-profile people or successful people.
So do you get on the internet?
Social media, mainly Facebook.
You on that social media?
My word he is.
Yeah. What do you do on it?
He promotes business and stuff.
For example, I use it basically to deal with football-related people or footy clubs around Australia who want someone like Dane Swan to come and play a footy game there this week or whatever. So I run it as an entertainment platform.
So when Brian Mannix was on my boat and he fell over and a shark attacked him, Ricky photographed it and put it on the social platform.
And it goes off. Right. Mm. And then you do is the audience that comes, you go, now if you happen to be at a football club in Swan Hill and you want Dane Swan to play there this year, let me know. So I came up with the concept.
So you get on this social media, do you?
Well, I treat it as an entertainment platform. I don't treat it as a... Well, it was originally created to communicate with girls at universities, I think, in America. But I use it as an entertainment platform.
So do you think you should get off it?
Yes.
Why don't you?
Well, I've decided that next year's my last year.
Why next year? Why not now?
Because I've got some things happening this year that I...
Yeah, but you're going to get into more trouble.
But is that a problem for you?
Yeah.
No, I'm worried about you and your family. Well, what about your family? If you get into trouble and all this shit and shoot your mouth off, what about your family and other people?
Well, I think at the end of the day, the truth's about to come out this year, so I'm not going to say too much. I've just signed an agreement to do a documentary. And the truth's going to come out on a lot of things, but let's not go there right
there
now.
There you are, Don. See?
No, he's teasing.
I'm not teasing.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Teasing.
Now, can I just finish off with one thing?
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
No, because you were you led me into this just before.
Yeah, go on.
Teaching at Carey Grammar.
Yeah.
And then I went into sports.
Do you know who your first client
Shut up,
was?
Don.
Yes.
Yes. Her name was Michelle Bortgartner, is that right?
Yes, correct.
Bortgartner.
You got a good memory.
I know everything.
She taught with phys edit with me at Carey Grammar.
Did
she? Yeah. Yeah,
she
Michelle.
Was a hurdler, very good hurdler.
Yeah, she
explain
was.
Something until
yeah, go on. Anyway, keep going.
So when I started in 1995, in 1998, I made the biggest mistake of my life in a roundabout way, and that was I created the first ever online sports agent course. So you learn how to become a sports agent. After a couple of years of it, I went, this internet's going nowhere. This won't work. I'm entering in next week to my 25th year of running this course, and it's been copied all around the world, and they're making millions out of it in America.
Yeah, well, I said you weren't a dickhead, so where'd your life go off the rails?
Where?
Yes, when?
Probably about around 2008, I reckon, 2009.
What was the thing that
I just want to be careful about a couple of things because there's people out there suffering. Let's just say this. There were some massive tragic events in my life to do with clients I managed, okay? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out who they were.
No, you've got to tell me, mate.
What? High-profile footballers and
tell
stuff.
Tell me.
Oh, Don, he doesn't want to tell you for a...
Wayne Carey's a good example, for example. But there's other things
that
happen.
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with you.
Yes, it is. I managed him.
Yeah, but you just look after that, so that's part of the management thing. So how does that affect you?
Well, how it affects you is every day you've got media ringing you left, right,
that's
and centre.
Your job, mate.
You've got people knocking on your door. Yeah, exactly.
That's your job as a manager.
When you're going 7 days a week, 15-hour days, and not coming home till 2 a.m. in the morning still working on this stuff, it starts to wear you down. And you look for ways to get out, and you always go
to analgesics.
Yeah.
Why would you go to them?
Analgesics.
Why would you go to those, Ricky?
The Bolivian
sugar. Shut up.
Because I just explained before, when you're an adrenaline junkie, you've got to get satisfaction.
Yeah.
And that's a poor excuse, but that's the
fact. Yeah, I reckon that's a poor one. And you being an athlete and a bloke that's supposed to have a few brains, I reckon that's a pretty weak way out, because you'd have strength of character to handle that, or you should have strength of character to handle all those situations.
All right, well, let me tell you about a guy in Perth who's used that now to get his life back on track. Who? And his name's Ben Cousins. And he's going on terrifically well. Spoke to him last night. He's going really well. And I think that you've got to be able to use what got you into trouble.
I'm talking about you.
Yeah. What more of an answer do you want?
Well, no, but why would you do that? Yeah, anyway.
Well, if I knew the answer to why, I wouldn't be here answering these questions, would I? I don't know why one night you never drank wine in your life, you drink five bottles of red. What are you trying to do?
I don't know.
Well, your head's obviously stressed to the max, and you're obviously trying to deal with things.
We're all stressed. We all get stressed. It's the way you handle it.
That's right. And I just explained that to you. There's probably 90% of people listening to this right now who have done something to try and calm their brain or the stress they go through.
That doesn't resonate. And you're an athlete with a few supposed brains. So why would you revert to that?
I have to be as perfect as you, do I?
No, I'm not. I'm far from perfect.
Right, so you've never drank too much.
Hey?
You've never drank too much.
I have tried. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. I will admit something. I tried it one night. Hock, do you know Hock?
Yes, I've heard of it.
I drank a flagon of that shit. I was sick.
Flagon.
Never
you
again.
You drank a flagon of Hock.
To see what it was like.
Yeah. Why would you have to drink a flagon?
To see.
And what about just a glass?
So that was it. I never drank before, never drank after.
Yeah.
Well, a flagon, and I was sick. So I can't understand why you do it, but I have experienced it. Do you know what I'm saying? That was in a controlled situation.
Yeah.
The flagon of Hock.
Went to bed.
Well, let me finish off just on my sports agent course. So it starts next week. If you're interested in learning how to be a sports agent, I teach you all the things that universities don't, which is how to negotiate
a very
contract.
Market.
Oh, no, it's not now. If you actually manage, it's gone from AFL player management was the biggest thing in Australia the last 15 years. It's now not. If you manage a soccer player or a gridiron player in America or a basketballer, you can make more money from three clients than you can make from 30 AFL players. And that's the sort of stuff I teach you in this course.
So tell me the other thing, Ricky.
Can I finish that bit?
Why do you need a manager? He didn't have a manager. I didn't have a manager. You had a manager.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Jacinta used to do stuff for me and...
No, when you were playing.
Oh, no.
Ricky, why do you need a manager when you're playing?
Well, I would argue that you need a manager to get the best out of yourself on and off the field.
Why?
Off the
field. Come on, you tell me why.
Well, was
promotion.
Shut up, Johnny.
Did Wayne Carey get the best out of himself?
Who?
Wayne Carey. Gary Ablett Sr.
Yeah, but why is that the manager's job? You've got a football coach.
Yeah.
And they should consult
an
accountant to look after the monetary side.
It changed in 1990 approximately, where money went from, I don't know what you
the
two
money,
got,
hey,
how,
listen,
how much did you get paid in your best
this
year?
This man here.
How much did you get in your best year?
Okay, well, here we go.
No, because Bruce Dool told me how much he got once. I was shocked.
Well, I got at the 45,000.
Yeah, okay, that'd be about right. Well,
it wasn't right. It was up... Bugger Lugs over here would blow you out of the water how much he would earn nowadays more money than any player playing. And I mean millions. More than 45,000. Beg your pardon?
Yeah, I don't dispute that, because the most valuable player in the game tends to be the ruckman if he's a player.
No, it's not. It's your ability to sell and market yourself. He marketed himself and sold himself because he had some Richmond after him.
Yep.
Now, I had to sit down and do it myself with the officials at Hawthorn. So you've got a commodity to sell, and it's a case of selling that commodity. So I'm asking you, why do you need a manager?
Because his job is to get a better deal for you than what
bullshit,
you can do yourself.
Do it yourself, mate.
Please don't tell me to shut up again, because I'm entering into the discussion. If a club, it's supply and demand. If a club wants your talent, Don, will come to you and they'll say, I'll give you this, and you'll say, no, I want twice that, and that's that. But after that, it's the opportunities, the marketing opportunities, the advertising, but the promotion,
came to you
the
and they
ancillary
came to me.
Things that top up your income. That's are right. What managers do. It's no good you going to Holden
no,
or Ford
you,
and saying,
Johnny.
I'm a star, why don't you get me to drive one of your cars? You get someone else to do it and they do it for you, Don. That's what a manager is. They seek the best opportunities because they have a finger on the pulse of who wants you and who doesn't.
Ricky, how much commission do you get, or how much do you get percentage-wise looking after a player?
When you did their footy contracts back through the 90s, 2000, up to about 2010, it was 3% of their football contract. But where I made double the money, people thought I made all this money out of football contracts. I didn't. I made it out of marketing and media deals. So there was a company called Nike who came along in the 90s and absolutely booming because of Michael Jordan and signed up a young footballer called Wayne Carey. And there was a show you might remember, I think it was called The Footy Show or something on Channel 9.
Yeah,
The Footy Show. That came along, And then they were suddenly getting players on every weekend, getting $1,500 back in the 90s. You know, that was a lot of money.
So what do you,
and
I
took 20% of that.
Oh, 20.
Right. Yeah, or 15, depending on the deal.
So 3% of their gross contract, so 100, so you get
30,000.
Yeah.
3% of a million.
No, okay.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but also too, back in your day, no players were earning any money off the field. And in 1994...
No. You must be joking.
Not what were they earning it for?
Well, what were they doing, Don?
We had sporting goods.
Who?
There was Nike.
Yeah,
there was Adidas
football.
And Puma.
Yeah, yes. Footy boots, stuff like that. Yeah. But there wasn't stuff like, I don't know, Bunnings coming along or Coles or something.
We were doing promotions throughout.
Pies.
So what, you're getting $250,000 from Bunnings, were you?
Oh, no. Which, no. Come on, Ricky, we're on 45.
But that's why you get a good manager. You get a good agent.
No,
because that's their job, to get your money
anyhow,
as much money as you can.
You've given him a dressing down
about
where
haven't.
His life's...
Well, I'm finding to ask
fine.
Questions
he's
that
he's
I haven't...
fine with it. He's
I know he is.
Well, you've given him a dressing down about where his life's gone off the rails, and he's telling you where it's back on the rails. He's doing this CT, whatever it's called, this...
TBI, traumatic brain injury stuff. Brain
yeah,
injuries.
Driving that bloody big
sports
truck
agent course. Yeah. Driving my ambulance around, yes.
Fucking...
It's the best thing I've ever done.
What is deleterious, which means not... What holds you back, Ricky, is that you get a head of steam up and people, you get some credibility, and then suddenly something happens out in the street or something and you've got to defend yourself again.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm saying this because I'm not just about me as well.
So you've got a
well.
Short week, Ricky. I watched you on the ground. Okay, well, why don't you control it?
Well, that's just me, and I'm
well,
not.
No, you got to back off, mate.
But you could be saying that, and I could go, "Well, that's criticism on me." It's not. It's me, and I don't care what people think about whether I'm an angry person or not. Mm. Is Seb Costello found out, didn't he? When he copped a chicken wing in the jaw.
Who's chicken wing?
I walked
Who's
into Seb a pub Costello? In Yarrawonga, and the whole pub erupted. Hey, chicken bang with the other. When I was harassed down Bay Street last July by some media, they got their right whack.
Hey, listen, shut up. So are you behind these ex-players going and playing in the country?
Yes, I've been doing it for 20 years.
Okay. So I read somewhere where Dane Swan's going to go, what is it, South Australia or something?
Yep. Nangwari, which is just out of Mount Gambier.
Okay,
in South Australia.
He wouldn't be fit. He's been out of the game for so long.
No, it's quite the opposite, Don. The number of players I won't name have come to me and they're gone from their playing.
Why don't you name them?
Because I don't want to.
Why?
Because you can decide who they are.
You've got one.
No. But Dane Swan decided 3 years ago to play these one-off games. He plays with St Kilda City and does a full pre-season over summer.
St Kilda City?
Yes. He's played there the last 3 years.
Has
he
really? What, he plays?
Yeah. So when he doesn't play at Nangwari in South Australia or at Gormandale in Gippsland or we just signed up a club yesterday, Gol Hawks in Mildura. And he's going to play there on Friday, Good Friday.
Oh, good.
So, but this is great for the community and it's great for the, you know, sponsors.
So he doesn't make an arse of himself?
No, he's actually probably, if he's played, say, 20 games, I reckon he's been best on ground 15 of the 20. Yeah. And he, surprisingly, where he plays.
What age is he?
He's 38 and he plays off half back. to start with. Bad. Yeah, and he's never played there in his life, but he gets 70 possessions.
Gone,
I reckon.
Really? For the first time in the 8 million episodes we've done, you've managed to do a segment on your own. I've sat back here and watched you. You're going beautifully. Up. I've not interrupted. And see, you
first
can
time
do
you
it.
Haven't.
Because you can do it if you tried on.
I
if
don't
we get
want to try, you idiot.
What do you want to do? Just I'm sit there fine. And buttonhole Ricky here.
Yeah. Abbott and Costello. Who's a dumb one in
no,
Abbott
I'm,
and Costello?
I'm, you're going to do... This is a whole episode
Jerry
of you.
Jerry Martin and Dean Lewis.
Jerry Martin and is Dean Lewis, Dean Martin, you Dean fucking Martin, idiot. Martin. Jerry Martin and Dean Lewis. You couldn't say that. That is a spoonerism, Don. Like saying, I've never heard anything more lifeless than all my dick. That's what a spoonerism
hey, Ricky,
is.
You really haven't answered my question about your concussion thing.
Yes.
So what? So the kid gets concussion. Yes. You get tested. Okay, yes. Big deal. I know I've got concussion because I can't see or I'm spewing or I'm doing something or I'm not. But the headaches go in a couple of weeks, so I go back and play footy or I play the following week. Yep. All right? So what is the point of you coming along and testing when I know physically that I am capable of going back on the field?
Because quite often after concussion, after about 1 to 2 weeks, you feel like you're absolutely back to normality. But that doesn't mean that your brain
I know
is.
That. I've done that.
So by getting tested...
I've got another whack and I've gone off the head off the tree again. Yep. I understand all of that, but what does your machine actually do?
What it does is it tests the brain functionality by your eye following objects around a screen and shows you concentration and hence your brain functionality.
Okay, so what do they get out? What's the end result?
The end result is if you get a rating between 1 and 20. Between 7 and 10 is classified as you've got some problem. Anything over 10, you've got some serious issues. We tested a 28-year-old boxer recently. He tested at 16. Now that's serious issues. Refer
so
them
what
on.
Do you
we
say re, to we, him, we, so we, what do you do with that?
Okay,
what do you do
we
with
refer
that
them on to a neurologist who are brain experts, and they work on rehabilitation.
How now, can you rehabilitate?
Well, that's
the brain?
Not my cup of tea. As in exactly what?
Well,
they
hang on,
do.
Johnny's got a question.
Yes, I didn't. I don't. The risk of being shouted down and told to shut up. Don, could I suggest, with great respect, the very fact that you said that. Very popular duo of Dean Lewis and Jerry Martin, I would suggest that you need to go and be the first client of Ricky's machine. If you can mix up Dean Lewis and Jerry Martin, that famous singing trio, if you can get them around the wrong way, I would suggest that you're not as sharp as you think you are.
No, it's an intellect problem.
Oh, he's very sharp.
It's not a concussion problem, it's intellect. I'm not the sharpest
that's
tool
an
in
interesting,
the shed.
That's an interesting debate.
You're
Don.
Not the sharpest,
tool in the shed?
Yep.
That's a song by All Star.
All right, now, Don.
Oh, sorry, the song is All Star.
Ask him some more questions about himself and where he's going
I think we've covered it, boys. It's your podcast.
He's very good
I don't
at
want to take it over.
All right, well, he's finished now then.
Well,
it
was a very good at a blind turn on the footy field, Don. Just got to continue it on in your life, mate. But I'll leave you guys to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Don. Would you like to come out now, Ricky? I take Ricky.
No.
What? I beg your pardon? I'm going to ask you.
You are going to ask me out in the boat with him and who's
we're going out. We're going out on Saturday. We're coming.
Sue
you come,
Stanley,
are you coming? Sue's coming.
And Warwick Kappa.
Yeah. I think Anthony Koutafidis is coming, I think.
Would you like to come out on the boat? Warwick Kappa, no, Brian Mannix. Brian's up in Queensland.
Yeah. No, I'm right, thanks very much.
No, you're right, Don.
I'm going to sit on the couch. It's going to be 37 degrees
Don,
and I'll be watching the races.
You could fair come enough. Out, you could go in that first segment we spoke about, you could buy a camel toe and you could stick it down your Speedos and you would enthrall people sitting on the
why
back
should
of the
I
boat.
Enhance what's already, why should I enhance what's already there? Or they'd be intrigued if it was a camel toe.
That's a wonder they didn't come to you, the producers of my massive cock, and ask. No, Ricky, you think I'm being salaciously
I wouldn't fit
grubby.
On the screen.
That is a show that's on television on Stan, my massive cock. Yeah. I might ring them up and say, there's a bloke down on the Mornington Peninsula who has, it looks like a tree stump. And you could get a little Woody on down there and they could come and film you and they mightn't have to show your head or you could compare it to one of your horses. If you've got a stallion, you could stand on your all fours, standing there with your thing hanging down and the horses hanging down and see if you can spot the difference. Now, that's how you could make some extra money being an ex-footballer, Don. You got 45 grand when you were playing. You would get 450,000 if they could just take a snap of your dick, if I may, Don.
Or what, Ricky. What about the functionality of it?
Exactly.
Imagine if we could test that.
Gee whiz. So go up now, like Ricky, a fire
you wouldn't have to test it.
It'd be like we're a fire.
We've both had the cancer.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's true.
No, it'd be like you know when you turn a garden hose on and it just goes shh. Hey, that's what happened with you.
The sprinkler?
Not the soaker, you fucking idiot. You know when you don't have the nozzle on the hose and you turn it on and you're not holding it, it snakes all over the place and sprays and swishes. That could be you, Don, if you just got a head of steam up. What am I talking about? Right, now, Ricky, is there anything else you'd like to speak about?
No, just if anyone's interested in becoming a sports agent, just contact me on Facebook and get started next Friday. Goes for 6 weeks, takes 2 to 3 hours a week.
Hang on, you got to go through the AFL. Oh, no, you
don't. No, I don't do anything
through
the AFL.
There's other sports as well, too, isn't there?
No, it's actually as I said, it's changed, but it's international type situation. Someone like Dean Rice.
Why doesn't somebody set up a thing for country footballers?
It's been tried before.
A bureau where clubs come and say, we want players.
It has been set up before. I set up a website and hoped to get 500 players. I got 5,000. But the problem was, and I didn't realise till I set it up, is some of their mates are putting up their mate as a profile. You don't know where. Whereas a footballer like Patrick Cripps, I know how he plays. I know what his goods and bads are and everything else. So it's a very difficult local footy recruiting.
Is anybody managing these, talking about big money, the kickers that are going to America?
Oh, yeah, that's what the point I was making. So you've got Dean Rice, a former teammate at St Kilda, played at Carlton. His son's punting. Dustin
Who manages
Fletcher,
him?
Well, what you've got to do, and I explain it in the course, is you've got to link in with an American agent. But what you can do is they do the work, but you get a percentage because you found the player.
This is a big future. Son of a very high-profile person currently engaged in that pursuit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Who?
Eddie McGuire's son.
How do you know that?
Oh, just, you know it. Yeah. He's very smart. He's very smart academically.
Who is?
Eddie's son.
What's it?
He's doing university in America.
Yeah. Is he?
There's a lot of kids over in America.
They've all got
playing basketball. Yeah. The number of Australian kids going over
what
there
it
to
is
play
to
sport.
The clubs, and I was contacted by a couple about 3 years ago. They're very interested in the drop punt, how that hasn't emerged into gridiron because you kick a barrel at the old torpedo punt, effectively. But they are starting to get their heads around now that a drop punt could be used strategically a bit, and I think you'll see in the next few years.
Yeah, but what with that pointed gridiron ball? It's just
that's part of the issue, I suppose, or whatever. Is it possible to kick an accurate drop punt with a gridiron ball? Yeah. Yes, it is, but it also it's all about timing and your foot and everything else.
Yeah, because you're a great kick, Don.
He was.
I got on. I could kick a drop kick.
Yeah,
I did those at the start of my career.
You are a drop kick. Now, Don.
Ooh, one up at the moment.
Now, Don. I said I was going to announce. I can't name the person. But in the middle of this year, you listen to this, Ricky, in the middle of this year, there's an Australian sportsman going to travel across to the Antipodes, which is the other side of the world, and embark on breaking a record, which will be world news. And it's a huge event.
Swimmer?
Swimmer?
Yeah.
Has he got a manager?
It in one.
What is it then?
Yeah.
This is concussion kicking in. John Van Wyse.
Ooh.
John Van Wyse. What's John Van Wyse going to do?
Swim somewhere.
What's the channel?
Antipodes. I was just trying to.
He's gone over
Pacific
done
Ocean.
The channel. Come back. He would have broken the record. He stuffed the tumble turnover. He stuffed the tumble
at Calais.
At Calais. Yeah, he went across. Had to touch the pier there, and he fucked up the tumble turnover.
He missed the pylon.
Yeah, and then just swam back. So he would have broken the record, but the 3 seconds it took him to do the tumble turn. No, he's going. He very big news. I can't announce it. Right. And also coming out in next 2 months is Tyson Fury, who I am told is going to come in here and do this podcast. And you know who told us that, because he's a very good friend of his. You know that. John Locko. John will be happy I've mentioned all this. Yeah. We might have to cut all this out. Anyhow, and he wants to go on the boat and fish.
Who? John Locko.
Tyson Fury is obsessed and besotted by Rex Hunt.
Why, you've got to be joking.
Don, he watches his fishing shows in America and in the United Kingdom.
Really?
They're huge, Rex's fishing shows.
They're doing
shows.
Replays or reruns.
Yes. Well, he doesn't do them now, Rex, no. But they're huge over there. And Tyson Fury is a huge fan of Rex's, and so much so that he almost specifically is coming out here to meet Rex and hopefully go out on my boat with John Locko and Tyson Fury and Rex and Don. I could extend an invite to you.
No,
would
I'm
you?
Right, thanks.
You wouldn't come
Don't
out
no, Don, I want to no. go out with you.
Who could
I've
I
been
get?
Out the boat. It's boring.
Oh. Well, it
not when I'm on there, it's not.
Oh, I know. You go off your head.
Absolutely. Don, you've got to remember this, you stupid man. It's not where you go in life. It's who you go with. So
I'm going by myself. I come into the world by myself and I'll go out exactly the same way. Thank you very much.
That is a good point.
What an exciting...
You had some assistance from your mum, though.
So
let's face it.
Yeah, so Don.
She pushed it out. She's to blame for all this.
Yeah, premature ejaculation. It's hereditary. It comes in your genes. Now, Don, who would you like to go?
I have come in my genes before.
Who would you like to go if anyone, if I could get you onto the boat? No. Who? Just listen to me answer this. If I could get you onto the boat, who would you come on the boat if I said this person is coming on the boat? Who would you come on with?
No one.
There's not one person.
Not one.
You
person.
Haven't got a hero in your life.
No.
What?
No.
Not a hero?
No.
No one. No, no one you look up to or would
no.
like to meet
no.
or be in the company of?
No.
Oh, Donald Trump?
You must be joking. That'd be a boring bloody
You cannot be serious. What?
That'd be a boring conversation.
On the contrary, it'd be fascinating.
Why?
Why? Why do you think?
All he is, he's just...
He's just what?
No. Anyway.
He's just what? What is he just? He's a star. Now, Don, we're going to finish this off and we've got a few more topics because there's another big celebration coming up toward the end of this month called Australia Day. Won't that be exciting? We will celebrate Australia Day. A lot of people, well, some people won't, but we will, and we'll embrace and love the country that has spawned from that Mr. Phillip, the governor, going up the river. And we are here because of it, and everything around us is here because of it, and we should celebrate it. And if you don't want to celebrate it, that's fine. Let's celebrate something else if other people want to celebrate it. Call it Invasion Day. If you want to say it's Invasion Day, that's fine. Call it Invasion Day. But the people who have prospered, one and all Australians, no matter what colour you are, have prospered because someone went up the river in 1776, didn't they? And this is why this country's here. There was nothing here before it. No good sugarcoating it, that's a fact. But we respect the people here before it. But if you're not going to celebrate Australia Day, just think about why you're not. Anything else going on there, Don? Channel 10. Channel 10 are fantastic. They said that they're definitely not celebrating it because it's abhorrent to the people who are here in the first place. And we said that. That's fantastic. Don't celebrate it if you don't want to. But if you do want to, go and give thanks to the country, the greatest country in the world that you live in. Don?
Now listen, have you been to the car park in Melbourne? Wilson's car park?
Yes.
You have. Did you read the sign? Wilson Parking would like to, now this is on the car park, would like to pay respect and acknowledgement to the traditional custodians of the lands and waters where we operate our business and also pay respect to the elders both past and present. Wilson Car
Park. Yeah, mate, it's a rot. It just goes on and on and on and it's crap. And we've said plenty of times on this thing, we give thanks and we respect and we do all that, but to keep going on and on and on about it, no one's game to say, stop all this nonsense. We are Australians. I'll say Lionel Rose said, I don't look at myself as black or white. I just look at myself as an Australian. It's thanking people for the. It's nonsense. But anyhow, if you just ignore it, that's the best thing to do. And why we gets on to why we fly two flags above our buildings.
Three.
We're just change the flag if you want, but let's just all live under one flag, not 30 different flags.
Can I throw in one thing just quickly about the show you mentioned on Stan, which was, what was it called?
My Massive Cock.
My Massive Cock. When I had an office at Etihad Stadium and Ian Collins, the former CEO of Carlton, was the CEO, I said to him, I've got you a deal for the car park, $250,000 sponsor. He goes, to do what? I said, well, you know how you, when you come in and you put your ticket in, the rail goes up. So I got a sponsor. He said, who is it? I said, Viagra. He said, we can't do that. Well, look, you fast forward 25 years, they're doing shows on it. Chicken goes bang. All right.
Now, listen, Vatican journalists, just a breaking story. You ready? Yeah. Vatican journalists are reporting Australia's most senior Catholic cardinal, George Pell, has died following complications from a hip replacement surgery. The Herald's Sun has sought confirmation from a number of Cardinal Pell's representatives. He was 81. So there's breaking news.
Yeah, so, Don, that breaking news will go to air. We're recording this now, this will go to air and this broadcast will be downloaded in an hour. So it probably won't be break news, but well done. And George Pell was found not guilty.
And that's come from two sources. A man called Ivan in Western Australia has also sent that in. So there's two sources.
Found not guilty of any misdemeanor, I think you'll find. Was he found guilty?
No.
He was acquitted.
Yes.
I wonder why he was acquitted.
Well, Andrew Bolt did, if you remember, a very practical thing, timing and where it was and logistically set it out. It was impossible. Why didn't the legal representatives come up with it? And also, I would like to know whether this was a political witch hunt.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Don. This is why he was acquitted, mate. This just goes on and on and on. The whole thing is predicated on politics in every aspect, sport, domestic life.
Can we have a coffee?
Just a minute, I was going to... Yep, so...
Break.
Yeah. Righto, so there we go.
What type of coffee would you like, Ricky?
A latte.
You into the Melbourne Magic?
What's that?
That's a coffee.
Oh, really? Yeah, very, I'll try very one. Nice. I'll try one of those. Yeah.
Melbourne Magic's they're called. Yep. Or go for the Magic. Righto, Johnny, that'll do. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
You want one?
Back again. I'm just crazy about you.